Good morning. I have a question for you this morning. I'm glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'd like to begin with a question. Do you have God in your life? Do you believe in God, and is He in your life each day? Have you ever considered what it would be like to live a life without God? To live a life where someone does not believe in God? What kind of a life do they live? And do you have God in your life? And I don't mean just simply a passing thought about Him or a passing belief, but do you read His Word? Do you obey His Word? Do you come worship Him each week? Is God in your life? I want to talk this morning about a well-known Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1 that reads, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." It's foolish not to have God in our life. There are a lot of people who do not believe in the existence of God. They're called atheists. Others who are called agnostics and skeptics, they say that there may be a God, but they simply don't have enough evidence to believe that there is. They just don't know. And then there are, of course, believers. Some do not believe in the existence of God. Is that you? Although this lesson is not about evidences for the existence of God, we might just say briefly that there is an enormous amount of complexity and design in our universe that demands a designer. From the human body to the universe itself, to the animal kingdom and plant kingdom. And I'm reminded of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 that says that every house is built by someone, and He who built all things is God. There is evidence for a builder, a divine builder. But despite that evidence, some do not believe in God. Others believe in a God, small g, but not the one true God of the Bible. Some believe in the God of the Bible, but they do not let Him be a part of their life. They're fine with others believing in Him and obeying Him, but that's not for them. So, which one is it for you, friend? Is God in your life, or are you like the fool who has said, there is no God? A great way to begin this year would be to have God in your life. What are some consequences of a life without God? What is life like without God? Well, we're actually told that in the Bible. And we want to look at that this morning. If you'll get your Bible out and turn with me to these passages, you can see for yourself what is said. And even outside the Bible, we can just look at the world around us and see a lot of evidence of people living a life without God. This world would be a lot better place if God were in the lives of every individual. Our nation would be a better place. So this morning, I want to talk about four characteristics or four consequences of living a life without God. Number one, it's a life of hurting self and others. Number two, it's a life out of control, growing worse and worse. Number three, it is a life of self-centered pride. And number four, it is a life without hope. Friend, we want to encourage you to have God in your life, not just a passing thought or an idea, but a true belief that shows itself in obedience to God, where you are praying regularly and reading your Bible regularly and worshiping with New Testament Christians regularly. You can come and do that with the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would love to have you come have God in your life. But let's look at a life without God. The psalmist says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." First of all, a life without God is a life of hurting self and others. If you continue reading in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Jehovah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. They are all gone aside. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon Jehovah? A lot of times when a person does not have God in his or her life, they end up hurting themselves and others. One reason why we have so much terrorism, so much violence, so much murder, robbery, rape, abuse, divorce for some cause other than what Jesus authorizes in Matthew chapter 19, abortion, euthanasia, killing off the old people, and on and on and on. It's because people do not have God in their lives. Now, I'm not suggesting that every atheist is out hurting other people. I know for a fact that there is a group of atheists in this town of Clarksville. They meet regularly. I've seen some of their advertisements and articles in the local newspaper. I'm not suggesting that they're all out hurting people. But many people who hurt others, it's because they do not have God in their lives. God is not going to lead someone to be violent towards somebody else. And in Psalm 14, 1 through 4, there's a description of these people who do not believe in God, and they're wicked, they're out hurting themselves and hurting others. You can turn over to a few other passages. I'd like to look at these with you. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity will not be found out and be hated. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath ceased to be wise and to do good. He deviseth iniquity upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. There are people who go out and do terrible things, and often it's because they do not have God in their lives. God's word would cause them to live good and righteous lives and help others. But without God and his word in a person's life, there's a lot of trouble and problems. In Psalm chapter 52, if you'll turn with me there, Psalm chapter 52, verses 1 through 7, we find a similar thing. Who boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth very wickedness like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God will likewise destroy thee forever. He will take thee up and pluck thee out of thy tent, and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see it and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. The person who made not God his strength is described as someone who uses his tongue to do all kinds of deceitful and wicked things. In Psalm 54, in verse 3, for strangers are risen up against me, and violent men have sought after my soul. They have not set God before them. So violent individuals. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, Solomon is encouraging the reader there to have God in his or her life and not just material things. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 2, I counsel thee, keep the king's command, and that in regard of the oath of God. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. A person does wickedly, and when government does not sentence that person speedily, their heart is set on doing evil. There's a lot of people who do bad things. And then, even if they are caught by the law, when they get out of jail, they go right back to doing it again often. And there's just not a fear of God in their lives. It kind of reminds me of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, when Moses approached him and said, let my people go. He said, who is this Jehovah? I don't know Jehovah. And I'm not going to let the Israelites go. There are people today who would basically say, I don't know God. And there are more and more young people who are not being raised on God's Word, the Bible. If you're listening this morning and you have children or grandchildren, are you raising them on God's Word? We encourage at the Warfield Boulevard Church to read our Bibles each day. We have Bible classes each Sunday and Wednesday night so that we can raise our children on God's Word, so that they can grow up and be guided by God in a good and right way, so that they can be good to themselves and others around them. Goodness comes from God's Word. It's not just something that is accidentally found in a person in whatever society he finds himself in, but it's instilled by God's Word. So number one, we have a situation where a life without God is a life of hurting self and others. Number two, a life without God is a life that is out of control, growing worse and worse. A person's thinking becomes more debased without God. It becomes more evil and wicked. And we need to remember that it's a growing process. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 3, and they bend their tongue as it were their bow for falsehood, and they are grown strong in the land, but not for truth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith Jehovah. And that is talking about Israelites who once knew God and obeyed God, but when they leave God out of their life, they can grow worse and worse. In Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there, the Apostle Paul talks about the Gentile world of his day, the Greeks and the Romans of his day in the first century, and he talks about them and their life without God, the one true God. They had idolatry. They had false gods. When Paul went into Athens in Acts chapter 17, he saw the city full of idols, but they were not worshiping the one true God. And so a life without the one true God, what does Paul say about that? Read with me Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Paul opens up with evidence for God. For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity. You can know that there is a God by looking at the things that are made around us. And we can perceive through the things that are made God's everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. We are without excuse. We have evidence for God, so we cannot stand at the end of time before God in the judgment day and say, God, you never gave me any evidence that you were around. Paul says that we are without excuse. We can know that there is a God if we will look for that. So look at verse 21. because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. There was a time when these people knew God. They can know the one true God, but they chose in their reasoning and in their heart to turn away from God. So knowing God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't want to worship the one true God. They didn't want to give thanks. So Paul says they became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. So what did it lead to? Paul says in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They turned to false idolatry. Wherefore, verse 24, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts. If we don't want God in our lives, he's not going to force himself on us. He will give us up to whatever we want to go after. He's not going to sit there and force us to know him and obey him. So Paul says, God gave these people up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness. Now he's going to list several sins here throughout the rest of the chapter, but I want you to see that it comes from a life of someone who does not want God in their heart and in their mind. So they turned to the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, using their mind and their body for immoral things. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They could have known the truth about the one true God. He gave them evidence, but they didn't want that, so they exchanged truth for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now Paul goes on. For this cause, God gave them up. That's the second time that we read that phrase. God gave them up. God will let you do whatever you want to do, friend. If you don't want him in your life, he's not going to force himself. But what will your life lead to? Verse 26, God gave them up unto vile passions. And then he's going to talk about, in these two verses, homosexuality, which today, among some, is exonerated, it's glorified, it's honored among some people. We have several states that legalize same-sex marriage. But in the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament, it's always, always condemned. So here are people who don't want God in their lives. And Paul writes, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. So women did it, and men did it. And today, it's exonerated among some and legalized by some. But Paul says that it's against nature. It's lust. It's unseemly. It's a vile passion. And so we don't need to be engaged in that. But it's coming from people who don't have God in their life. Paul goes on to write in Romans 1:28, and even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up into a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Well, what is that? He lists that in Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. In verse 28, Paul writes a third time, they refused to have God in their knowledge. God gave them up. Look at that statement, refused to have God in their knowledge. There's ample evidence for God in the world, including the Bible, but people refuse that. It's not because a lack of evidence. It's not because it's hard to find. It's there right in front of them, but they refuse it. And when they do, it leads to all kinds of unrighteous things. And he listed several things there. A life without God is a life of hurting others and self. It's a life of growing worse and worse. And so we have sexual immorality today and homosexuality, and that leads to all kinds of other things. Unwanted births, and then abortion and STD, sexually transmitted diseases, drug and alcohol abuse, all kinds of debt. People will not live by God's word, and so it just gets out of hand. It grows worse and worse. Number three, a life without God is a life of self-centered pride, where if God is not in the driver's seat of our life, then we are. And we begin to build ourselves up. We begin to live our lives by our rules and what we want, and how what we think is right and our standard of living. Look at Psalm chapter 10 with me. Psalm chapter 10, beginning in verse 2. In the pride of the wicked, the poor is hotly pursued. Let them be taken in the devices they have conceived. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and the covetous renounceth, yea, contemneth Jehovah. The wicked in the pride of his countenance saith, he will not require it, speaking of God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways are firm at all times. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all of his adversaries, he puffeth at them. He saith in his heart, I shall not be moved. To all generations, I shall not be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and iniquity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the helpless. He lurketh in secret as a lion in his covert. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him in his net. He croucheth, he boweth down, and the helpless fall by his strong ones. He saith in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. There is an attitude among some who do not have God in their lives that they're proud. I think about certain worldly dictators and politicians and those who have power and money. They think that they can do what they want to other people. We've heard a lot in the media lately about sexual abuse and sexual scandal, where individuals are exercising and exerting their power over others for sexual favors. Hollywood celebrities encourage immorality. Powerful businessmen and politicians exploit women. And we also have educators, especially in higher institutions of learning, who promote atheism and promote humanism. elevating man and degrading God. And so someone has to be in control. And if it's not God, then it's man. And so we find that if I'm living a life without God, I begin to elevate myself little by little and do what I want, when I want, where I want. And that's a dangerous thing. It leads to a sense of self-centered pride. And then last of all, number four, a life without God is a life without hope. Even if the person who does not have God in his life, even if he's not out hurting others, and even if he is not out of control, growing worse and worse, and even if he is not filled with self-centered pride, there is still one last thing, and that is that he or she has no hope in this life. We just live a life, and that's it. When we're dead, we're gone. I think about Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of the Gentile world before coming to God. He said that they were at that time, separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Emptiness, depression, anxiety, sometimes suicide, no hope of direction or moral objectivity, no hope of life beyond the grave. We just live this life and that's it. What kind of a life is that? We get up each day and no hope whatsoever. Once we die, that's it. This life was completely meaningless. We live for a while, we die, and that's it. No hope. Who wants to live that way, friends? I don't. And I hope that you do not want to either. Friends, I want you to consider a question. Do you have God in your life? If not, get Him in your life today by opening up His Word and reading that and obeying that. And if I can help you to do that, let's sit down with a Bible study in the convenience of your home or wherever you'd like to do that, so that God can be a part of your life, can be in the driver's seat, can be at the center of your life. As we close, why am I a Christian? Why do I worship God regularly on Sunday? Why do I read and try to follow my Bible the best I can? Why do I pray regularly with myself and my family? I want God in my life. I want God in the lives of my children. I don't want the alternative where there's hurt and out of control and pride and no hope. I want God in my life. Do you want Him in your life? Those without God in their life will have to face God one day. Let's turn to Him now before it's too late. Let's turn to God, to the true and living God. If we can help you to do that, come and worship with us. Come and sit down and study the Bible with us. Let's not be foolish, but let's be wise and have God in our lives. I hope that you'll have a good day.